The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, hi, folks, and thanks for listening to another podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. On this particular Sunday, our guest was Dr. Diane Collard. She is, among other things, a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network and also a dear friend of our community. Diane was speaking on this occasion because she and her husband Glenn were traveling through California to talk about art and all of their activities in ministry and mission. She had just completed a week in Pasadena at the Brehm Center and hanging out with one of her mentors, artist, theologian, thinker, author, movie maker, Makoto Fujimura. In this teaching, Diane is bringing us up to date on what she's been doing in ministry, and then she talks about a beautiful analogy, a beautiful metaphor that she found just in fact recently by looking at Mako's work for how the Lord has been working in her own life. One quick word, the recording didn't quite start at the beginning of her remarks, and she had just been talking about what she was doing in her role as the Europe Director for Artist and Christian Testimony International. Now here's Diane Collard.
People, artists who desire to serve God full time in a cross-cultural setting. So there are violinists and painters and writers and dancers, all kinds of the arts being used of God to reach the peoples of Europe for Christ. And I get to work with them. I'm also, since we're living in North Carolina, God in the last year and a half has allowed me to be the founder and director of a work in North Carolina called Arts Charlotte. Arts Charlotte exists to nurture the soul of the city through the arts. And we're doing that in various ways. It's my joy. I have a great team of artists who want to be part of God's reclamation project of our culture, and they're actively involved in that. You also, most of you know, I had written a book, I Choose to Forgive. And I think last time I was here, I had just been approached by a missionary director filmmaker with the concept of making a film about our journey of faith that would include both the forgiveness journey, but also my journey of healing and service through the arts that God brought about. Well, last week we were in Pasadena at the Culture Care Summit, which was put on by the Brehm Center. Brehm Center is the Center for Arts and Theology of Fuller Seminary. And we were there, part of the speaking, presenting. But God provided, the director of the Brehm Center is Makoto Fujimura, an internationally known artist. He's also a theologian and a pastor. Can you imagine those all coming together? The Lord provided an award-winning film production company who just happened to be given a grant and their project fell through. And they came to Mako and said, do you have any project that you need and we can apply this money and we'd be free of charge to do this project? And so they came to Pasadena last week, and what their purpose was to make a short, not the full documentary. We're still praying that happens. We would love this company to do that, but a short 5 to 7 minutes. It would be an overview of the documentary that would then be used to raise the funds to make this documentary. So we spent the week, apart from the Lord, my worst nightmare before a camera, being interviewed, being followed, being filmed the entire week. And it'll be finished by end of March, April. And God provided an award-winning composer who said, I will either write the music or allow you to use the music. It's the most beautiful music I've ever heard. Ed Wilmington is his name. He's the director of the Fred Bach Institute of Music at Fuller Seminary. And he is giving us his music to use in this short. Again, Glenn and I are praying that it extends to the long. We would love to have it. So this has been a very full 2 weeks of God's provision, surprises, and I just, as my family, ask you to pray for what is next. After the short is completed, then they will start the fundraising process, and the director is writing the treatment. I'm learning all the words, guys. The treatment for the whole film, and he's producing that now. And to God's glory, we believe this documentary is going to be produced. So I just wanted to bring you up to date. But something else happened last week, in that God gave me a new understanding, a picture, a metaphor for what he had done in my life so many years ago. In 1992, our son, Tim, was down in Concord, California. We were missionaries working in former communist Eastern Europe. We lived in Vienna. Most of you know our story. I'm not going to go into any detail, but what we learned on that fateful Sunday night was that during the night before, our son had been murdered. And again, I don't have time to tell the whole story, but maybe you remember that only God could have done this, in that he led me into an art gallery in my midst of my despair, when I was at the lowest of the low. And I'm sitting in this room. I don't know anything about abstract art. I didn't like abstract art. I had been taught that abstract art was godless and for Christians not to be involved in it. So I'm even sitting there with a measure of guilt. What am I doing here? And God spoke when I was at my worst, my depths. And he said, "Diane, I am the original abstract artist. Everything in creation came from my imagination. Nothing had been representative. And before Genesis 1:1, in my imagination, in my will, I had created the building blocks of everything you see. And it mirrored what I was seeing on the walls. Line, color, design, space, angles, nothing representational, all seemingly disparate pieces. And I heard internally in my mind, so real, "Diane, if you trust me, I can take the broken pieces of your heart and make something beautiful." But I'm realizing, I am learning that they were more than broken pieces. And it really wasn't until I have spent time in Makoto or Mako Fujimura's studio that I understood what God was saying. For I was crushed. I was more than broken. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever had situations in your life that are so overwhelming that you feel like you're being crushed? Just ground down. Doesn't seem any purpose or why did this happen? How could this be? I'm crushed. I'm crushed. And that's what I realized I was feeling. Mako is an interesting artist. He's a Japanese American, the only American-born Japanese ever invited to come into the master class of a particular kind of Japanese, very ancient art called Nihonga. Nihonga means Japanese art. That's what the word means. From the 17th century. The purpose of Nihonga is to take precious minerals, precious, the things that we value the most in terms of minerals, and crush them with a mortar and pestle, crush them into something that is usable in art to make something beautiful. He uses gold, platinum, silver, malachite, which is that green mineral that means the stone of transformation. He uses azurite for the blue, which is called and understood to be the stone of heaven. Cinnabar, red, stone of manifestation. He takes these precious minerals and crushes them in his studio. Oyster or clam shells to produce the white color, soot, ashes to produce the black. And he grinds them, and only the master artist can do it because there are 16 different gradations of size of the powder that's needed depending on what the art's to be. So the master artist himself grinds the minerals to produce something beautiful. Today you're going to see some of the paintings of Mako. It's extremely hard, a photograph, a slide of Mako's paintings, because these precious minerals produce light and colors that are depth that you can't catch with a camera. But I want you to see. He takes it, and after he grinds it just to the right amount, he pours it into a little vessel, and he takes glue and sometimes oil. And only he can do it because he knows what the purpose is. And so he takes it, and with his middle finger, slowly, slowly, slowly makes the pigment. He says, I can't trust it to anyone else because nobody has in my mind, the master artist, what the result is to be. And he keeps mixing it. The production of this art takes a lot of time. It's not a fast, swoosh, 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 it's done. This is intentional, it's purposeful, and the intent is to produce beauty. The result of being crushed and lovingly applied by the hand of the master artist produces beauty. Mako's creative expression, I realized, I've been in his studio in Princeton, New Jersey, and last week I was in his studio in Pasadena, California. And I realized this is the perfect metaphor for my life, for my experience. I wasn't just broken in grief. I felt crushed. I felt I had no value. I had no strength. I had no purpose. I couldn't find the motivation to even want to go on living. I was crushed, except for the master artist, my God, who intended to make something beautiful of my life to the glory of God. God says much about brokenness in Scripture. Psalm 34:18 says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted. Isaiah 61:3, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes. Ashes, the very thing that produces the darkness in the paintings that show forth the light in Mako's paintings, God says he gives us a crown of beauty for. Jeremiah 31:13, I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and exchange sorrow for rejoicing. Psalm 30:11, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed them with you. Why brokenness? Why does the master artist allow brokenness in our life? We have to be willing to be honest, to allow the Lord to search our hearts, because there are many reasons that brokenness produces something of worth to God. First of all, Psalm 51:17 says that the sacrifice you desire, talking to God, is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. There are times that our brokenness is because of our own sin, our own choices, our own disobedience, our holding on to anger, our holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness. God says that requires a broken spirit to come to him and ask him to cleanse that, commit to obedience, commit to living in his light, in his ways. The broken spirit is pleasing to him because it brings us in repentance to him at the foot of the cross. We also experience being crushed because, folks, we live in a fallen world. Anybody doubt that? We live in a world that crushes us because it hates God and it hates the God within us. We have pain. We have brokenness. We feel crushed. On our son's gravestone are the words, "Life's not fair, but God is good." In his sovereignty, he allows us to live out in this fallen world and promises we can do so to his glory, in spite of everything the enemy and the world would throw at us. Obviously, most of us, and I think God's very patient with it, when we feel that crushing coming, we feel that brokenness, we say, "Why, God? Why?" I believe God has the power of answering that question. But for us, he asks us to surrender that question, to surrender the question, "Why?" to a sovereign, good God. I don't know why God allowed our son to be murdered, but I know that he can bring something beautiful from it. We're called to live as ambassadors of God's reality in this dying world. We are to live as exiles. We don't belong here. We belong in heaven with him. That's our ultimate home. He leaves us here in order to create beauty in the midst of our exiled state. Beauty of our lives, beauty of what we bring to the world, beauty in all its forms, which is a manifestation of the goodness and truth of God. God also allows crushing circumstances as a part of his recipe for refinement and spiritual maturity. This depends, if this is going to produce that, on our response. God tells us we can praise him in the midst of persecution and difficult circumstances. Now, is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard, apart from a sovereign God who is working out his purposes? He calls us to submit to his plan. Submission, not part of that "I can do it myself" that you talked about earlier. It's part, "You are good, God. You are trustworthy. You are worthy of my trust and my life." Called to obey his word. Every commandment in the Bible, every commandment is given for one of two reasons: either to keep us from harm or to give us something good. Are you obedient to his word? Are you resisting? Are you rebellious in your heart? The brokenness has come to make you so dependent upon him that you have to recognize obedience is the only way to live and receive his joy, his blessing, his dancing in the midst of mourning. Especially, as you know, something dear to my heart is the command to forgive. Are you holding on to bitterness, resentment, and you still expect God to bless you, to turn your crushed spirit into joy? God says, "Obey me. I have given the command that you must forgive so that you might have freedom." In the midst of a fallen world, in the midst of difficult circumstances, God wants us to have his freedom. We must surrender to Christ to be transformed and restored. It brings us closer to God. It makes us pliable and useful to him. It makes us sensitive to God and to others. God says that as we trust him and as we go through hard times, we will then be able to encourage others. His encouragement is for other people through us. It makes us more like Jesus. Jesus was broken for us in 1 Corinthians 11:24. God must prepare us just as Mako prepares his paints, his precious minerals. It's not because they're of no worth. God's not allowing you to go through this time of brokenness and crushing because you have no value. It's because you do. He loves you. And he allows us to be in that mortar, with that pestle going at times. God prepares us to be used in service to others, to teach him of himself, and to learn to trust and to rest in him. Mako's form and the way he does his art. Clearly, last week as I was in his studio, we were being filmed, a discussion between Mako and myself, for this film, and it came to me that his form of art, Nahanga, was the perfect metaphor for my life, what God was doing. But that's not the only artistic metaphor that speaks of God. Pottery. Isaiah 64:8, we are the clay and you're the potter. We all are formed by your hand. Jeremiah 18:1-6 says, so God did as he told me, and I found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making didn't turn out as he'd hoped, as he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. I have a good friend. He's a potter. He's a missionary in Cologne, Germany. And he told us one time, he said, when I make pots and they break in the firing, he said, I don't throw that clay away. I put it in a large receptacle. And over time, I keep putting different kinds of clay, that different kinds of pots in that receptacle. And then I put water in it, and I let it reform into something pliable. And he said, you want to know the interesting thing? Is that reformed clay has strength that the original clay could have never had. And he said, you know, that's why God puts us in community. Because as your broken vessel and my broken vessel, and we come together in community, and we allow the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit, to cover that, we become stronger than we'd ever be any other way. Another Japanese form of art, kintsugi. This means to patch with gold or golden joinery. Artists highlight the flaws of a piece of pottery or ceramic. They don't throw it away. They highlight it with gold, making them even more valuable than they were before. I have a friend, Patsy Claremont, who has written a book called The Cracked Pots. God has his treasure in our clay vessels. And what shines through, because we're so flawed and cracked, is the glory of God. Too often, broken things and broken people we just discard and throw away. And we despise broken things. We despise things that aren't useful. But not with God. Not with God at all. Beauty and strength hides, waiting to be revealed in our brokenness. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, look at that pot. It's absolutely gorgeous. They don't throw away the broken things. Are we too quick to throw away people from our church that fall, that break? Do we stop if they're not useful to us, if they can't function the way we think they should? Are we discarding them? God says, I want to produce something beautiful from them. So I would ask you, have you been crushed? Have you experienced this brokenness? I think we must pray and ask God to reveal the reason. And if he reveals, if he says that it's because of sin in your life, confess it. Leave it behind. Turn around. Repent. Are you hiding resentment and bitterness? Psalm 139:23-24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I believe we are all to pray that on a regular basis. I trust the Holy Spirit to answer that prayer. And if the Holy Spirit does not bring to mind sin in your life, don't keep feeling something's wrong and that you just aren't getting it. Trust the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you and then respond. Psalm 51:8-10, oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. When Mako paints, sometimes he uses a brush. Or sometimes it's one single horsehair that he's putting lines. Or he may put the canvas. Now, it's either on silk or on handmade paper that he makes himself. And he puts it on the floor and he pours the brokenness, the crushed pigment onto the paint and let it go where it will. Isn't that a picture of God pouring his spirit over us to produce something beautiful? If God is allowing circumstances to feel like you're in the minerals and the mortar, maybe you feel like you're right here today, crushing you into powder. Be honest with God. Trust him. Surrender to him and to him, his purposes. And ask in faith that God will fulfill his promise of bringing joy, dancing, and beauty into your life again. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, spoke of our Lord Jesus, predicted what our Lord Jesus would do when he came. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me, what? Do you know it? To comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released, prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to those who mourn, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory. I want to end with reading something from writer Debbie McDaniel. I want you to look at the photos, but I want you to be praying and asking God to speak to you as I read. There are lies out there that swirl around and whisper to your deepest soul in weak moments that you've lost your grip and things come crashing down. You feel the need to hide the scars. You feel like the brokenness has rendered you useless in life. You feel beyond repair at this time. You feel tossed aside, forgotten, shamed, rejected as you sit on a shelf. Yet God breaks through all that mess. You are never beyond healing. You are never too broken for restoration. You are never too shattered for repair. Do not be ashamed of your scars, of the deep crevices that line your soul, or the broken places of your life. They have an amazing story to tell. Here is truth. Just because we've been broken doesn't mean that we are thrown away. Just because we've been broken doesn't mean that we're unusable, set up on a shelf. Just because we've been broken doesn't mean that we are forgotten. Brokenness has the power, unlike anything else, to bring forth new beauty, strength, and inspiration to others. Because it's often in those moments that we've tasted deep suffering that we begin to notice that we are made for more. There is more. There is purpose. The scars of life, the healed wounds, the deep lines, they all have stories to tell. Yet we often hide them away, preferring instead to present to the world a safe facade of who we are, a more perfect version. It's too difficult to risk the real vulnerability of exposing what once was or what still is. Listen to this, people. We have a healer, one who repairs, who can fit the broken pieces that no longer seem to fit right into the perfect design. He works, often behind the scenes, mending, fitting together, creating a better work of art, more than ever we ever dreamed possible. He makes all things beautiful, especially the broken, all from his grace. It is real life, jagged edges and all, and they have such meaning. You are not simply patched back together, as if he secretly hopes the glue will stick this time. Your repair and healing is never, listen, never intended to be invisible, but beautifully lined with shining grace through every scar and broken space. Gold crevices fill our heart. now stronger, better, more beautiful than before. And that's what this story, his story, is really all about, bringing life to what was broken. He was willing to take on the brokenness of the world in exchange for our freedom. Beautiful Savior, Jesus, who wants to set us free, who wants to make all things new, who wants to produce beauty. Praise be to God.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.